Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Mike Eccles, senior correspondent here in Prague, filling in for our regular host, Steve Gutterman. Volodymyr Zelensky. He's been the president of Ukraine for more than 2 years now. He's been to Western capitals like Paris and Berlin. He's hosted Western leaders like Angela Merkel, who was just in Kiev a couple weeks ago. Zelensky has also played host to American officials. Secretary of State Antony Blinken traveled to Kiev in May. He was the highest-ranking U.S. official to visit Zelensky. But one thing has eluded Zelensky in all this time that he's been in the presidency, a meeting that arguably has more importance and more significance than just about any other. That would be a meeting at the White House, meeting the U.S. president at the White House. It's a meeting that's laden with all sorts of political, geopolitical significance internally and externally, and it has all sorts of importance for Ukraine's foe, Russia. Zelensky will finally sit down with the U.S. president, Joe Biden, this week. His meeting was scheduled for Tuesday, August 31st, and it's now been pushed back to Wednesday, September 1st, ostensibly because of other domestic issues Biden is grappling with. The road to secure a coveted White House visit for Zelensky has been bumpy, to say the least. Recall that in 2019, Zelensky was trying to get a meeting with then-President Donald Trump, but those efforts ran up against a murky lobbying campaign involving Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, and an effort to dig up dirt on Joe Biden's son in Ukraine. The result was Trump's first impeachment. Zelensky, of course, did sit down with Trump that fall in New York on the sidelines of the United Nations General Assembly. By all accounts, it was awkward. And it wasn't at the White House. Joining me now to talk about this week's White House meeting for Zelensky and also what it means for the Kremlin is RFERL Ukrainian Service correspondent Natalia Churikova, a sharp-eyed veteran observer of Ukrainian politics. Natalia, laskava prosimo. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Dziękuję, Mike. It's a pleasure.
So, what is the significance of the White House meeting for Zelensky? Perhaps I'm making too big a deal out of it.
No, it has been quite important in Ukraine as a token of Ukraine's U.S. support for Ukraine, especially in this situation where the war in Donbass is still ongoing. Ukrainian soldiers are being killed almost on a daily basis, and a lot of other problems which are connected to Donbass are still unresolved, and Ukraine is still stuck with the negotiations with Russia about what to do next on Donbass. President Zelensky, when he came to the office, he promised that he would talk to Mr. Putin and convince him to do a peace deal with Ukraine. But unfortunately, the only meeting that he had with Mr. Putin in Paris in 2019 was President of France Macron and Chancellor Merkel didn't bring any tangible results, and now Kyiv is looking for other solutions, looking for other possibilities, and there are a lot of talks of bringing somehow the U.S. In these talks. So the main idea is to meet President Biden, to talk about strategic partnership, about defense and military assistance, about Donbass and Crimea. We remember that Ukraine has just had its first summit of Crimean platform. This is a platform which is designed to talk about Crimea as an occupied territory of Ukraine, and those more than 40 countries which took part in it, they supported Ukraine, showed their solidarity, and this is a permanent platform to look for solutions for getting the territory of Crimea back to Ukraine. There is also a energy security issue. Talks about the Nord Stream pipeline, Nord Stream 2, which was for a long time was opposed by the U.S., but recently the U.S. took off, called off its opposition to this project. Also, economy and investments. And finally, the issue which is least liked in Kyiv, probably the judiciary reform, mm-hmm. where Ukraine is expected to show some concrete results. And this is this issue brings us, I think, to the most important problem in the relations between President Biden and President Ukraine. It's the lack of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And that lingers, of course, from the previous previous presidents. And you mentioned this story with President Trump mm-hmm. and his attempts to dig dirt on President Biden and the role of President Zelensky in it.
Mm-hmm. So let's I want to come back to the question of Donbass and Russia, of course, but let's talk briefly about domestic politics here. Of course, he's not up for election for another 3 years, if I'm not mistaken, until 2024. March 24. That's good to know. What are Zelensky's approval ratings now? Does he stand to get just a simple boost in popularity from the visibility of meeting with Biden at the White House?
Well, he's definitely looking forward to it, but I'm not sure that that boost will last him for 2.5 years. Yeah. And actually, he's doing quite well compared to other Ukrainian presidents who lost all their ratings by the end of their first year in office. President Zelensky is still doing pretty well. He still has something like 29% of approval rating. Which is not that great, but compared to his rivals, former President Poroshenko mm-hmm. and pro-Russian oligarch Yuri Boyko, who both have around 16-15%, he's still doing quite well. Well, of course, compared to his landslide victory in 2019, when he got 73%, that is, of course, much less. But still, he's quite popular, and he is he's taking great care about being popular. Take the example of the military parade. When he came to power, he came with anti-oligarch, anti. A big business agenda, which was very popular. And he came to power also with the agenda of making peace with Russia. And making peace with Russia and having this huge parade didn't come together so well. And so he didn't have any parades in Ukraine for 3 years. And now you see he has organized the biggest military parade in Ukraine's independent history. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that angered Russia a great deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you mentioned Russia. So let's turn to Russia. Of course, they will be the proverbial elephant in the room when Biden and Zelensky sit down to meet in the Oval Office. And our loyal listeners to the podcast, of course, know what's been going on in Donbass and eastern Ukraine since 2014. At last count, I think we were up to more than 13,200 people who have been killed since war broke out there in...
Closer to 14,000 now.
There you go. The war is still very much ongoing. It falls off the front pages oftentimes and falls off the broadcasts, but there is a war ongoing in eastern Ukraine, in Europe, and people are getting killed, in some cases on a daily basis. And you made reference to the past peace talks that... have been on and off. We have the Minsk Accords, we have the Normandy format, and I think it seems safe to say at this point the things are kind of dead in the water. But so what does Moscow want out of this meeting? What is Moscow looking for with Zelensky meeting with Biden?
Well, I hope that this meeting does come out without any concrete results, without U.S. support for Ukraine's military military buildup, because the United States is giving 92% of Ukraine's military aid. So this is the major country which helps Ukraine to resist Russian occupation and possibly attacks in the future, because we remember that this spring there was a huge Russian military buildup on the borders of Ukraine, and Ukrainians were seriously, and all other serious experts were talking about a serious possibility of a bigger military attack in Donbass, and not only in Donbass but in other places. Now Ukraine is talking about possible attacks from the sea, and we saw President Zelensky going to the island, to the Serpent Island, showing that Ukraine is going to defend itself on the Black Sea if it's necessary. So for Russia, it would be really important to see that Ukraine does not get all that help. And also, I think they would love to see Ukraine being lectured about corruption, because this is one of the main leitmotifs, the main issues, the main ideas of Russian narratives of the Russian propaganda, that Ukraine is a corrupt country, that it will be very helpful for them to see that President Biden tells Mr. Zelensky to get his house in order, stop this high-level corruption, get the judiciary reform, and of course they don't expect that to happen.
Well, it's a very interesting time in Ukrainian politics, and for people who watch this part of the world, it's always interesting, and it'll be very interesting to see what comes out of the Oval Office meeting. For listeners looking for a good analytical preview of the meeting, I would highly recommend the piece we published over the weekend by RFERL's Washington correspondent Todd Prince. And of course, for Ukrainian speakers, RFERL's Ukrainian service is packed the gills with details and analysis, both now and after the Oval Office meeting. So, Natalia, дякую. Thank you so much. Always great to have you on.
You're very welcome. Have a nice day.
That's it for us, folks. This is RFERL's Week Ahead in Russia. Thank you all for tuning in.